and welcome to Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. Almost done April. How about that? Done like dinner. Speaking of dinner, I was lucky enough to be in Calgary on a CKUA spring fundraiser and was invited to a winemaker's dinner at Dean House by my friend Sal Howell, the founder of Dean House and River Cafe. The interesting thing was pouring was Mission Hill Family Estate and their new winemaker, Ben Bryant. You will know Ben's work from Jacobs Creek, St. Hugo, and Wyndham Estate in Australia. He's also made wines for Stoneleigh in New Zealand, Campo Viejo in Spain, and Grafina in Argentina. The pride of Mudgee, my friends, Ben Bryant, will be pouring today at Dean House in Calgary. And he has succeeded fellow Australian Daryl Brooker as the chief winemaker at Mission Hill. It's a big job. They're a world-class winery, and big things are expected of their wines. It took almost a year for Daryl Brooker to convince Ben Bryant to uproot his family and start making wines in the Okanagan Valley for Mission Hill. Ben says it's an endless opportunity that is untapped. Ben says he's challenged by this move and to put the place on the map. The pride of Mudgee, my friends, Ben Bryant will be pouring today at Dean House in Calgary. We're going to be starting this special feature on the food side of things with the chef de cuisine at Dean House, Galassa Aiden. And we'll finish off the show, as we should, with our host, Sal Howell, who is the team leader and owner of River Cafe and Dean House, two of the finest restaurants, not only in Calgary and in southern Alberta, but all of Canada. Consistently top 10 restaurants. And just when you thought we were done, we have one more guest on the show, Colin Linden. He of Blackie and the Rodeo Kings, the man who has his own great solo career, producer, writer, great guitarist, has played the White House and toured with Bob Dylan. He has a new album out called Amour with his pal Luther Dickinson and the Tennessee Valentines and guest vocals from some of the cast members from the Nashville television series that he was the music director of. It's a really good album, the kind of thing you expect from someone like Colin Linden. But he also really knows his wine, and every time we connect, we talk about music and wine. He's just produced Lucinda Williams, Keb Moe, Blackie and the Rodeo Kings, Bruce Coburn, the one and only Colin Linden closes the show. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Canada's number one winery, Road 13. It's time to book your dinner with Backyard Farms and Road 13. Amazing artisan wines with four-course meals prepared by Chef Chris Van Hooydonk of Backyard Farms. May 4, July 27, August 17, September 28, and October the 5th. All the details at road13vineyards.com. My name is Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Room Radio. We are at Dean House in Calgary, at the confluence of the Bow and Elbow Rivers. It's the only time I ever get to use the word confluence. Mission Hill Family Estate winemaker, the new winemaker, Ben Bryant, is pouring here today, introducing himself to all of us. And I get to meet the new chef in the kitchen, Galassa Aiden, who's the chef de cuisine. I need a quick bio on you. And surprisingly, from what you tell me, there wasn't a culinary school. It wasn't CIA in New York or Berkeley or whatever. It was here.
I graduated from William Eberhard High School in 2010. And from there, I went to SATE for power engineering.
Power engineering?
Yes, sir.
Like in the oil industry?
Yes, correct. And the main reason why I wanted to do that is because my parents told me to. I jumped right in there, and within 6 months, I realized how much I disliked it and how it wasn't for me, and I wasn't really doing too well in class. So I took a part-time job in a kitchen at Joey Crowfoot, and within the first few minutes, I fell in love with the camaraderie and the togetherness and the high intensity, the high stress. I just fell in love with everything. It was like my eyes opened up for the first time in my life.
Had you ever cooked?
No, I couldn't even boil milk.
Well, how painful was that, those first couple, 6 months?
They were excruciatingly painful. I really, really don't like disappointing my parents. And so for me, it took a lot of courage and a lot of strength to finally tell them that I was going to drop out and become a chef and put my entire being to this. And much to my dismay, of course, upon making that decision, my family essentially exiled me from the house and didn't really talk to me. So,
my name is Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Worm Radio. We are at Dean House in Calgary, Mission Hill Family Estate winemaker, the new winemaker. Ben Bryant is pouring here today, and I get to meet the new chef in the kitchen. Galassa Aiden is the chef de cuisine. How did you end up at Dean House?
Originally, I was at River Cafe from the year 2014. I started there just at the end of Andrew Winfield's tenure there, and Matthias Fong took over. I immediately just fell in love with his cooking style, his technique, his leadership, and how he talked and trained everyone. So I started at River about 2014, and I worked my way up the ranks from, you know, prep cook all the way to eventually chef de partie. And I eventually started running the restaurant a few days out of the week. And so the more and more I took on, the more and more I just fell in love with it. And each day there was a new level of excitement. And so last October, actually, after Jamie Harling decided to leave Dean House, Matthias became executive chef of both restaurants. And by doing that, he selected me to become the chef of Dean House.
We are at Dean House in Calgary, Mission Hill Family Estate winemaker. Ben Bryant is pouring here today, and I get to meet the new chef in the kitchen. Galassa Aiden is the chef de cuisine. This is your menu?
Correct.
So with the 2017 Mission Hill Reserve Sauv Blanc, you have decided to open with?
A side striped shrimp salad. Gently poach some side striped shrimp in oil. Shrimp oil, which we made with the shells of the shrimp. We made a delicious aioli with lots of lime zest and some lime juice. And we hung some goat yogurt and folded in some espalette chili from the Okanagan, just to kind of give it a nice fatty, spicy mouthfeel to it. And just for some crunch, we added some fresh celery and apple, small diced in between the shrimp, just to kind of surprise our guests. And then we served it with some wild rice crisps.
White bean soup, but a very big white bean soup with the 2013 Mission Hill Terroir Collection Lone Pine Chardonnay.
I had millions of ideas come to my mind. Originally, I was thinking maybe a risotto, maybe this, maybe that. And so I decided to go with a white bean soup. So we have these amazing Northern Divine beans from the BC. And we decided to make a soup with that in the soup base itself. There's some celeriac, there's some mushrooms, there's some leeks, there's some onions and some garlic, just to give it some added depth. Very rich, very creamy, not too heavy though when you eat it. So that's kind of what I was going for. And just accompanied with that is some confit shallots that I confit in smoked brown butter and thyme for about 4 hours. And then also with that is a orange and tequila gel and a toasted walnut crumb and a delicious dehydrated clam vinaigrette, just to kind of give it some nice umaminess. And just for some added wow factor, we made some ricotta nudi that we deep fried.
Of course you did. He is Galassa Aiden. Mission Hill Family Estate is pouring winemaker's dinner at Dean House in Calgary at the confluence of the Bow and Elbow Rivers. We next come to the 2013 Mission Hill Terroir Collection Crosswinds Syrah.
Traditionally with Syrah, you know, very, very nice red meats go with that, some lamb, some beef stews, excellent. And so I kind of wanted to, you know, take a risk and go off that path. And so we decided to go with an octopus, which we marinated for 2 days in a red wine reduction with lots of herbs and some peppercorns and some bay leaves. After the two-day marinating, we then strained it off and cooked it with a veg stock. And then eventually we cooked it at 180 for 4 hours. And by doing that, gave us a very delicious and very tender octopus. And that will be served grilled right before it hits the guest, tossed with a nice blood orange and charred scallion vinaigrette. Everything on this dish is extremely rich and very, very strong in flavor. So we wanted to kind of cut that with some of that. And then just for some brightness and some acidity and kind of like a palate cleanse through each bite, there's compressed apples and endives that we compressed in lemon juice and a little bit of citric acid, as well as apple juice, just for some very, very nice sharpness.
And no boiled milk?
No, sir.
All right, then we come to the 2013 Mission Hill Quatrain. This is a huge blend.
Of course, yeah. Such a legendary wine. Amazing, amazing flavor notes. Honestly, once I tried it, I realized how special this wine really was. And so I really wanted to do something very special and something that can really stand its own ground. So I went with the very traditional beef Wellington. And just to kind of play on the season and some of the ingredients that we get here in Alberta, we decided to stew some nettles, so some stinging nettles from BC. We stewed that down with some chanterelle powder, some leek ash, and some chipotle powder just to give it a little bit of a kick, and that was stewed, as well as a nice duck cell that we made with grilled oyster and grilled shiitake mushrooms, and we've also folded in a little bit of a red wine reduction into that. Obviously, Wellington, quite heavy, so we decided, since it's the last course, let's lighten it up a little bit, and so we made a wild watercress emulsion. That'll be on the base of the plate. Very, very clean, very creamy in flavor, but completely vegan. And with that as well, we have some fermented and pickled rose petals with some chervil, some celery, puff barley, and some cilantro just tossed in a very, very light vinaigrette, which we made with a wild watercress vinegar that we started about 2 months ago. And that just gives it a nice freshness and some bite to it just to counteract the richness and the butteriness of the beef Wellington.
Just a basic throw-together meal.
Oh, yeah, just threw it together in a couple minutes here.
How do you finish it? What's your dessert? It
is a cranberry and almond tart. Being served with that is a vanilla and cranberry champagne vinegar curd. So very nice tart, very citrusy, in a way palate cleansing, but still kind of gives you like a mouth-watery feel. And then being served with that is a spiced chocolate ice cream and a almond brittle.
Are your parents coming?
Fortunately, no, but they'll make the next one.
Are they proud of you?
They are now.
Took a while.
It took, about 5 years of animosity between us, but now they can't stop bragging about me to their friends, which is one of the greatest feelings, honestly. So,
have a great night.
Thank you very much, sir.
Galassa Aiden is the chef de cuisine at Dean House in Calgary. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13, the Wine Align National Wine Awards, number one winery in Canada. Summer hours are here. They're open now until Thanksgiving. The Castle is open daily, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. You can find them on Facebook, Twitter, and at road13vineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. After 6 weeks of renovation, refurbishing, kitchen and outdoor patio expansion, complete with a new outdoor kitchen and pizza oven, the Unsworth restaurant is officially on spring hours until May the 12th, Wednesday to Saturday and Sunday brunch, 11 to 4, dinner, 4 to closing. All the details at unsworthvineyards.com. The leading Australian wine writer who on Hook talked about our guest today, Ben Bryant. There's something about Ben Bryant that reminds me of his predecessor at Jacobs Creek, the great Philip Laffer. The new chief winemaker has something of Laffer's demeanor, a no-nonsense, let's get on with it kind of approach. Serious but calm, precise in his language, thoughtful but quick in his responses. Let's find out. We're at Dean House in Calgary. It's the Mission Hill Family Estate Winemaker's Dinner, and the guest of honor is the new winemaker at Mission Hill Family Estate, Ben Bryant. Didn't exactly sneak into the Okanagan, but there was no parade. He showed up and got to work summer of 2018. Was that planned? Did you just want to sort of ease into the job?
I don't know if it was planned. I think it was, I wanted to finish my vintage in Australia, and that's, you know, we would finish in sort of late April, and I wanted to do the right thing from where I was previously. And there was, I also wanted to get into the Okanagan with enough time to actually have a look at what was happening in terms of the growing season for the pending vintage that we started in sort of, I think we started on the 25th or the 26th of August. So I had 6 weeks to have a look around and get my bearings.
You also had to have a long conversation with your family. And this is a family decision. You must have liked what you saw in the Okanagan.
Yeah, look, you know, it's like anything when you're moving to the other side of the world. Admittedly, we'd moved overseas once before, but our kids were tiny. When your kids are, you know, 9, 7, and 4, it's a slightly different perspective. But from a family perspective, what we thought was most exciting was there's a place in the world that we're 40 minutes from one of the best ski fields. We're on a lake that we can have summer sports all summer. And in my previous, job, I was traveling a lot, and we wanted to reconnect as a family. And we thought that this is an amazing adventure for us to have as a family. And the professional side was just an added bonus.
It's interesting. Well, a chef way back when, maybe 5, 7 years ago, used a phrase, I wanted to define my inner chef. I said, what does that mean? He said, I wanted to step off this merry-go-round, and I wanted to have a family and see my kids and have a life. And
that's one of the number one deciders was, and for them, I wish as a 5-year-old I had the opportunity to do the same thing. So hopefully as a family we can create some amazing memories and make some really good wines at the same time.
Please remind the audience, Ben, how busy you were, exactly how big the job was back home.
Yeah, I never really thought it that way, but I spent a lot of time in the air during vintage. I was all over Australia. My home was in the Barossa, but I travelled probably during vintage to vineyards all across the country and wineries, and I was out of the home probably 3 nights of the week during vintage, and then outside of that, after we were blending, I was on the plane across the world selling our wine through, you know, great stories and great wines. So
we're at Dean House in Calgary. It's the Mission Hill Family Estate Winemaker's Dinner, and the guest of honor is the new winemaker at Mission Hill Family Estate, Ben Bryant. Weren't you meant to be a farmer in Mudgee?
I was. That was what I always aspired to be. I mean, that was my background.
I only know two farmers from Mudgee. There's you and Russell Crowe. That's it.
Is he from there?
No. He's from there. He's from Mudgee. He's the guy that first told me about Mudgee.
Yeah, no, look, I think as a family, we were a very, you know, a multi-generation farming family. I fell into winemaking accidentally when I first left school, and I loved the lifestyle. It was agricultural. One minute I'm in a vineyard kicking dirt and watching vines grow, and then the second part of the story is I have the opportunity to guide these amazing, you know, vineyards and fruit into something that is so unique that we can all enjoy across the globe.
Do you see that wine as just wine in a bottle, fruit, or do you see it as an expression of you?
I think it's a combination of both. It's for me, the most important thing, it has to be an expression of where it's grown.
Yeah.
That's an absolute for me in wine. The skills or the knowledge and know-how in wine is you can overlay your own personal touches, and you get to choose how heavy-handled you want that to be, or how, you know, innate that you just let the site talk for itself. It's, you know, as a winemaker you have so many choices, and yes, we all make bad ones, but hopefully we make more good than bad.
He's Ben Bryant. He is the new chief winemaker at Mission Hill. Daryl Brooker apparently stalked you for a year. How did that work?
He just kept annoying me by ringing me. No, we had, look, Daryl's a lovely guy. He's Australian as well, so, you know, we immediately...
You spoke the same language.
We did, you know, immediately sort of, you know, there was a connection. He'd done exactly what he was asking me to do in terms of moving my family to the other side of the world. But, yep, we had lots of discussions for probably 12 to 15 months, and in the end it was, Ben, get on a plane and come and have a look, and you can then make up your mind from there. And my wife and I travelled across... in December 2017, it was freezing at the time. We got off the plane, spent 2 nights in the valley with Daryl and Anthony, and left with no, you know, there was no more decisions to be made. We'd made up our mind, and it was to come and join Mission Hill.
And so you saw it at not its glamour. I mean, there's not a glamour shot, not very many glamour shots of the Okanagan in dead winter. Tough time to sell a home or a vineyard. But there was something about, I mean, what did you know of the Okanagan?
Very little. I always knew I was probably never going to come to Canada from a winemaking perspective. And I knew mainly Ontario. And that's pretty, you know, more often than not, that's what winemakers know about Canada in general. The Okanagan, I can honestly say, is one of the most exciting wine regions that will emerge in time. An amazing place of great aspects, sites, terroir.
Possibilities.
Possibility, and they're endless. Yeah. And we still haven't, we're still scraping the surface, and that's the fun.
And the dialogue that's been going on for 10, 12, 15 years is, well, let's grow one of everything, as opposed to, and there's another camp saying, let's just grow a couple of things well. Mm-hmm. So where are we now?
Yeah, I think having now been here for 8 or 10 months, I feel there's still... a lot of people in the first camp, they're still trying to work out what works well. The thing is, the site, the region, whilst it appears small, from north to south, from the border in Osoyoos, the US Canadian border in the south to, let's say, Vernon in the north. It's 180 kilometres along an amazing lake system. Every single vineyard is different.
With different heat units.
Yeah, so different heat units, different degree days, different soil profiles, different water requirements. So you then have to be really clever about what clones, what varieties, what rootstocks you're even using. And even us as a business, I can see there's some really strong emerging varieties that I wish we probably had more on the ground, but we're still playing around.
Is this your first winemaker's dinner here?
I used to come to Calgary probably once every 18 months when I was the head winemaker for Jacobs Creek, and we would do exactly the same. This is my first winemaker dinner at Dean House, and it's a stunning venue, and I'm very much looking forward to the evening.
We are speaking with one of the great winemakers of the world, Ben Bryant, now the chief winemaker at Mission Hill Family Estate. Well, we were talking to the chef. You presented a 2017 Mission Hill Reserve Sauv Blanc. This is not yet your...
No, so this is one of Daryl's, Daryl Brooker's wines. It's a lovely wine. I mean, it's... I think we're... You know, Sauvignon Blanc is a great example of a variety that we're still learning what we can do with. From a 2018 perspective, we've probably overlaid, you know, a slightly different style, driving a lot more fruit intensity and brightness. The 17, lovely wine, a lot more savoury in structure and style.
You know, there's always this delicate balance between what the winemaker wants to do and what the founders, owners of the winery want to present to us, the public. Have you found a comfort zone there?
Yeah, look, there's... In terms of, you know, I haven't met a person who has such a passionate view in the Okanagan, in wine, and in his business, other than, you know, Anthony Van Mondel himself. He's inspiring and so passionate and so driven. From a winemaking perspective, I think it's one of, you know, his very strong mantras is go and find the best people to do the job, let them do the job, and where I need to help them, that's what I'm here to do.
The 2013 Mission Hill Terroir Collection Lone Pine Chardonnay with white bean soup.
Yeah, very interesting. The nice thing, or you know, for me, is we're drinking a 2017 vintage. But I think Chardonnay in the whole, we've always had made beautiful Chardonnays with, you know, Perpetua in the Mission Hill Legacy collection. The really, you know, cool thing is the Terroir collection is about site. So it's all about the site and soil, the uniqueness. And as winemakers, it's find those unique sites and make them into great wines to add a different layer and element in how we can talk about the Okanagan.
Are you an un-oak kind of guy?
No, I love oak. I think it's a really important part of wines, and particularly Chardonnay. Isn't that the old saying, no wood, no good? That, you know, I'm a long way from there, but I definitely love to have, you know, lovely fine-grained French barrels.
New French.
Chardonnay. Yeah, a percentage of new French. But, you know, if you've got the right coopers with the right sites, you can do some pretty amazing things with Chardonnay.
We're at Dean House in Calgary. It's the Mission Hill Family Estate Winemaker's Dinner, and the guest of honor is the new winemaker at Mission Hill Family Estate, Ben Bryant. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. After 6 weeks of renovation, refurbishing, kitchen and outdoor patio expansion, complete with a new outdoor kitchen and pizza oven, the Unsworth Restaurant is officially on spring hours until May the 12th, Wednesday to Saturday and Sunday brunch, 11 to 4, dinner, 4 to closing. All the details at unsworthvineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Bench 1775, where they're rolling out the barrels on the Naramata Bench. It's all part of the Okanagan Wine Festival's Spring Festival on Saturday, May 4th, 12 to 4. And it's really a behind-the-scenes opportunity to learn all about Bench 1775, their wines, and their winemaking. All the details at bench1775.com. We're at the gorgeous Dean House in Calgary at the confluence of the Bow and Elbow Rivers, and it's the first winemaker's dinner for Ben Bryant. He is the chief winemaker at Mission Hill. My rock and roll ears could not hear across the room when you were talking about your 2013 Mission Hill Terroir Collection Crosswind Syrah, because I really wanted to know where that fruit came from.
Yeah, so the fruit for this wine in particular comes off our vineyard, one of our vineyards off the Black Sage Bench. So it's a lovely site, sort of, what is it, south, westerly facing slope. So it gets a lovely sense of sunlight.
It gets it
all day. And that's what Syrah needs. It needs hot, warm sunlight.
Long hang.
And the 13 vintages, whilst, you know, it was probably a cooler vintage in the context of the Okanagan, it's drinking amazingly well. Very fine tannins, super soft, but still so much life.
And then the beef tenderloin Wellington, just a slam dunk, the 2013 Mission Hill Quatrain.
Yeah, Quatrain's within our legacy collection. It is, you know, they're beautiful wines to be making and beautiful wines to be able to now be able to guide for Mission Hill to see where we can go. The 13 was a lovely vintage. The blend is, you know, just under 50% Merlot and 25% Syrah, yeah. Some Cab Franc and some Cab Sav to support it. But you can really see in this blend, and particularly Quatrain, we want it to really express that openness and the juiciness of Syrah. And even in the more recent vintages, we've started to really increase the percentage of Syrah.
And I remind the audience that the art of blending is, in fact, an art form, because you have all of these elements and you have to find, it's like a painter. You'll change that blend, I'm sure, as you go.
Yeah, of course. I think I love blending. There's two things that I love most in wine. One is the excitement and the energy of vintage, and then the second is when you start blending. Yeah. Blending, as you put it, it is the skill of being able to understand the style that you are striving for, and then find the jewels that you have on the bench to bring that to life. And that is, you know, that is the art, but that's also what I love doing day in and day out.
Do you remember your numbers on this, the blend numbers? The Merlot was 50?
The Merlot is just under 50%. Syrah just on 25%. I think Cab Franc is about 23 or 24%. And then I reckon Cab Sav is around 21 or 22. In that order.
In that order. We're at Dean House in Calgary. It's the Mission Hill Family Estate Winemaker's Dinner. And the guest of honor is the new winemaker at Mission Hill Family Estate, Ben Bryant. Right. Listen, there's a couple of things. You went through a harvest. What was it like for you, that first harvest in the Okanagan?
Yeah, daunting is a good way to put it. It's like anything. You know how to drive a car, but you just don't know what the road conditions are like. It was daunting. I had an amazing team that have helped guide and support and worked tirelessly behind the scenes with me. But it was one of discovery. And what I can truly say is I've made the right decision. I think this region has such a bright future. And I'm just lucky to be a part of it. And more importantly, lucky to be guiding the Mission Hill wines.
Anthony purchased one of the great wineries, winery of the year, frankly, Road 13 in the South Okanagan. Do you have plans for the direction you want to go there?
Yeah, I think I think Jeff and the team there have done an amazing job to date. So, you know, from a business perspective, we will obviously continue to challenge and grow that business, you know, bigger, you know, in terms of where we're from, the footprint that we currently have, but never lose sight of, you know, what the DNA is of that brand.
Ben Bryant, now the chief winemaker at Mission Hill Family Estate. Surprises this year, new wines that we didn't know were coming, that are coming. Can you tease us?
Yeah, a couple of pretty interesting wines that we've been playing around with. One that's probably very close to my heart is Riesling. The Terroir Collection, we've introduced a single vineyard Riesling from our Symes vineyard on the Kelowna side of the lake, bone dry, carrying no residual sugar. And it was really, from my perspective, is I'm used to making and drinking, you know, Eden Valley, Clare Valley Rieslings that are bone dry, and it's all about acidity and the propensity of beautiful, delicate fruit. I wanted to see if I could do it, and I think we did a bloody good job. And it's now in bottle, and we'll see where it goes.
What's the second one?
The second one Pinot Noir was a stellar vintage in the north. We've taken the opportunity to probably bring to life, in the Terroir collection, some other single vineyard wines that we've never done in the past.
Is there a Cab Franc in there?
There is a Cab Franc in the Terroir collection. As a variety in the region, amazing potential.
Yeah. Ben Bryant, now the chief winemaker at Mission Hill Family Estate. You and I totally agree on that. I skipped over the rosé. What's the blend in that rosé?
The rosé that we looked at today was the 2018 Estate Series rosé. It's a predominant blend of Pinot Noir, about 80%, just under 20% Syrah, and a tiny bit of Merlot.
Are you a rosé guy?
I love making them. On a hot summer's day, there's probably nothing better to be drinking.
Do you care what the colour is?
Yeah, I do. Absolutely. For me, the colour is, it's a really good indicator of the style and also the quality and the handling and the fruit. If you've got that very subtle, pink, see-through rosé, it automatically for me says that there's some really good handling gone into the winemaking process. So if you're chasing that very, very savoury, bright, fresh and quite tight rosé with lovely fruit sweetness, then that's where I'll go.
Three things. Did you put your kids in hockey camp?
No.
Are they going to play hockey? They're in Canada.
My son's very on the soccer bandwagon.
Sure.
And daughters are very much into the skating, so.
Okay, fine. Ben Bryant, now the chief winemaker at Mission Hill Family Estate. I had an epiphany this year at the Vancouver Wine Festival. I had the opportunity to taste a Cab Franc from Mondavi, from his home vineyard. And I have never tasted a better Cab Franc in my entire life, but they can't make enough to share. They just brought it to tease. That's why I asked you about the Cab Franc. Do you, in fact, see a single becoming one of the stars?
Yeah, absolutely. From the south of the Okanagan, absolutely. Right. It's a variety of the future.
You might not like these words, but you are going to change the Okanagan for the better, and that's why I wanted to do this interview.
Thank you so much, and lovely to chat with you.
Okay, take care of yourself, please.
Thanks, Terry.
If you're a fan of Mission Hill Wines, you have a new poster boy. His name is Ben Bryant. He is the chief winemaker at Mission Hill Family Estate.
This is Tasting Room Radio, a weekly celebration of food, wine, and life, with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
I found the owner of Dean House, Sal Howell, at the winemaker's dinner. I wanted to ask you about winery dinners as just part of the year. You have the incredible room upstairs called the library, which is the perfect place to do a winemaker's dinner because you can be attentive, you can hear what's being said from one end of the table to the other. How do you choose your winemaker's dinners? Like, for example, it's Mission Hill. I see Ridge is coming. Mm-hmm. A couple of, what's the other one in between?
Oh, Pearl Morissette.
They make a Chablis, don't they?
Yeah, well, yes.
What kind of a wine town is Calgary?
Oh, I think it has a very strong wine following, this great passion. I mean, we have incredible wine stores here, and we have incredibly passionate, onophiles in because we have this incredible selection, and that's just been set up a long time ago in how we can import wine here and how we're able to I think the pricing of wine in Alberta, but there's been such incredible diversity because it's privatized.
You know how lucky you are, right?
It's pretty special.
It's pretty special because you spend time in BC. I know that. Sal Howell, tell me, do you know the story about Galassa, Aiden?
Oh, yes. Now, Galassa is a very passionate and energized young cook, and he found his way into our kitchen a number of years ago at River Cafe, and he, demonstrated his keen desire to work his way up the kitchen ladder, and he is an absolute delight. He's brilliant. He's very bright and intelligent, and he's one of those people who just really lifts you up, and he lifts up those around him.
Last summer, you had this series of concerts in the back, and you had you let people know that they could have lunch here, brunch here, whatever, and then walk themselves to the Stampede. Same thing this year?
Oh, absolutely. I think this is still a bit of an insider secret because the new First Nations village has now been called Elbow Camp, which is new. But anyway, there's a new gate on this side of the Stampede Grounds, and it's the most beautiful walk. You walk from Dean House along the river into Elbow Camp, and just the most unique cultural experience too. There's wonderful music and cooking demonstrations happening over there. But we are featuring lots of music in the garden. We are continuing our live jazz Sunday supper throughout the year, and the jazz is going to move out into the garden, as we are all desperate to do with the first signs of spring.
And finally, River Cafe. You hope to be open, what, May 1 maybe?
May 1st. Wednesday, May 1st. We plan on opening up and can't wait. We've had lots of time to research. Our whole team has been in all directions. We're coming together now and working through our new spring menus. It's really exciting.
Has the room changed?
The room has not changed. This is one of those, you know, it's like getting a new roof where you've made some investment and no one will actually see it. But there's some valuable work that's been done on the building, some of it flood mitigation, some of it life cycle maintenance. So we are refreshed. It will look refreshed, and we will be, you know, in spring glory at opening, just with the park greening up. And
I like your team here.
Thank you. Yeah, they're a great team to work with.
Check out the website, deanhouse.com. Dean with an E. Sal Howell, thank you.
Thank you.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Bench 1775, where they're rolling out the barrels on the Naramata Bench. It's all part of the Okanagan Wine Festival's Spring Festival on Saturday, May 4th, 12 to 4. And it's really a behind-the-scenes opportunity to learn all about Bench 1775, their wines, and their winemaking. All the details at bench1775.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. They have just released the new Screaming Frenzy line of sexiness. The 2018 Pinot Gris, the Sauv Blanc, the Pastel Pachyderm, which is their rosé, the 2017 Pinot Noir, and they're introducing Crikey the Kangaroo. That's their new Shiraz. Aren't you just a little intrigued? Check out thehatchwines.com. Welcome back to Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. My thanks to Ben Bryant, Sal Howell, Chef Galesa Aiden, and everyone at Dean House in Calgary. Wonderful destination. Can't wait to get back. By the way, next week on Tasting Room Radio, it's Sarah Park's gathering in Victoria called Meet the Makers Year 5 with Krista Needham from Seasider, Jenny Garlini from Bluegrass, Kira LaFranc, the winemaker from Stags Hollow, Penelope Roche from Roche Wines, Gordon Fitzpatrick from Fitzpatrick Family Vineyards in Summerland, Sebastian Ott, the winemaker from Rico Bambino, and Jason McIsaac from the award-winning Sheringham Distillery, winner of the Best Contemporary Gin in the World Gin Awards in London. And also, down the road in a couple of weeks, we talk to 19, perhaps 20 winemakers from the Naramata Bench as they pour in Victoria. And also upcoming, it's Vintage 2018, a pour in Victoria with Bailey Williamson from Blue Grouse, Grant Stanley from Spearhead, Sanka Tennant from Terra Vista, and Howard Soon, the winemaker at Vanessa Vineyards. But now, it's a mix of music and wine with my friend Colin Linden from Blackie and the Rodeo Kings. Extremely busy. Just wrapped up a Blackie and the Rodeo Kings session in his studio in Nashville, and with Keb Moe as well. Where have we found you, Colin?
I am sitting in the back, outside of the back door of my studio in Nashville, Tennessee, just having finished a lovely breakfast with my wife, who is weeding as we speak.
Very cool. Very cool. Especially that you're there. Did you ever sit, speaking of back in behind studios, did you ever walk out the back door of Sun Records and see the bench sitting there in the shade under the tree?
I have. I have seen it. I've seen the back and I've seen the bench. I don't know if I've seen it in the shade. I've seen it in the rain.
No. Okay. And there's a coffee shop off to the right. So you know for a fact that
yes,
all those boys, all those cats, all those wonderful cats would go outside, have a smoke. They'd go and get a coffee or they'd sit and look in the window. And it all happened right there.
It's really amazing. It's really amazing. And the environment really does contribute to all of it.
So describe your room then, your studio.
Our studio is 1,000 square feet. It has a 16-foot peaked roof. And in the northwest corner is the Richard Bell corner. It has Richard's B3.
Wow.
That was the house B3 at Bearsville Studios for a long time. And Richard bought it when he got off the road with Janis Joplin. And, you know, after she passed, I think he bought it in 71. So that's in the corner. And next to it is the piano from Gunner's Music Room, Gunner being the character played by Sam Palladio on the Nashville television show. Yep. So that's in the corner, as is an 1800s Victorian couch that belonged to my mother-in-law, actually belonged to my wife's grandmother at one point. Next to it, on the other side of the building, is the control room, although there's no walls or anything, that houses my 1970s Neve console that I just got, that I'm very excited about how good it sounds. And in the room, there's tons of guitars and amplifiers, and it's one big room. Yep. That is divided loosely by six large glass gobos that we bought from the Nashville set as well, from the fake studio called Tracks Recording.
Right.
On the Nashville set. And the room in the center of the room on the west wall, there's a beautiful stained glass window and an old church pew right underneath it. We call that area the sanctuary. And that's where, when you're singing and playing, that's where the singer and player is. Sometimes that's where the drums are. And the carpet that's underneath that is the carpet from the Bluebird set of Nashville, the fake Bluebird from the Nashville set. So that's mostly it. And then there's a bedroom with a very comfortable bed that also doubles as a booth for singers or drummers.
Of course,
But that's pretty well it.
Okay.
And there's a really nice bathroom, and come on down and visit us.
Yeah, come. There's two reasons why I'm calling you, Colin. One, well, it's three. One is to stay in touch and hear the sound of your lips.
Which is wonderful.
And to hear the sound of your lips. And secondly, to examine the relationship between you and Luther Dickinson and your new album, Amour, which is not your normal album. It is not a normal album. Repeated listening brings it closer and closer and closer together. Did Amour come together quickly for you?
Yes. Once we started recording, it did.
We're going to give some names for some of these tunes. So you might want to introduce the stars in the studio, Rachel and Ruby and the cast.
They're so wonderful. Rachel Davis is a really good singer-songwriter, banjo player, instrumentalist from Michigan. You know, who played with her family band for a long time in Michigan. She's made a few albums on her own, and she's married to a great bassist who's on this record named Dominic Davis, who is, I guess, mostly more known for playing with Jack White than anything else.
Okay.
But Dominic played on a lot of the Nashville soundtrack, and we became friendly over that. And he's a great player, and Rachel has sung before with Luther's band, North Mississippi All-Stars, so It was one of those ideas where it felt like a really great fit. Rachel's such a unique, soulful, timeless vocalist,
and Ruby
Amonfu, she sang with Jack White's all girl band, but she also was part of a duo named Sam and Ruby that made some records that were pretty famous, and she's a wonderful singer. And she had been on the Nashville show a few times, and I'd gotten to meet her, loved her singing. I asked her, and she complied, to come and sing on Bruce Coburn's Bone on Bone album, and I loved working with her. I thought she was such a soulful, interesting talent and such a great person. So I asked her if she would sing a couple, and one of the songs I really wanted to do was Lover Please, Clyde McFadden,
of course,
written by the great Billy Swan, who I've known a little bit since I was a kid, Chris Christopherson. And I just called Billy out of the blue, and you know, I don't see him that often, but I'm very fond of him, and you know, we always got along really well. And he just immediately said, and he knows Luther, of course, from the Memphis connections and from Jim Dickinson, Luther's dad. Billy just came over to the studio and sang on it too. And we did all of those vocals were live vocals. And we got Sam Palladio to come and sing Crazy Arms, Sam from the Nashville TV show. And then I asked Jonathan Jackson,
yeah,
who played Avery on the TV show, to come and sing, because he has this beautiful ethereal voice, deep spirituality in his singing, but he also has a lot of like Elvis and Roy Orbison in his roots too, and sings that kind of classic song with such honesty and emotion. So that in a nutshell is the Singers, and then I sang a couple.
We're talking about the album Amour with Colin Linden, who partnered with his pal Luther Dickinson and the Tennessee Valentines to make Amour, the latest album from Colin's vast career. And by the way, it's on Stony Plain Records. Talking to Colin Linden in his home studio, well, outside underneath the tree or with the birds. How did the Keb Mo project go?
Oh, it was fantastic. It was fantastic. It evolved from what the initial concept was. The initial idea was it was going to be him solo. And then after a couple weeks of recording some really cool stuff, Kevin got a kind of a hankering to have, you know, to have a little bit of accompaniment on it. Actually, it started even earlier than that. We recorded one song that had me and Keb Mo and Taj Mahal on it together, because we had just written it that morning and he was eager to record it and Taj was just coming by to visit. So we cut it that way. And so the record evolves quite a bit, but it's a truly beautiful record, I think. And he's magnificent. So it went great. So as soon as I finish that, I finish Bruce Coburn instrumental album, and then I'll get back to work on Blackie. So I want to see if we can get Blackie done by the end of May.
Wow. Would we see a Blackie record this year?
I think that, 2020 officially is our 25th anniversary.
Sure.
Together, even though we got together in 1995 toward the end of the year. But it's significant for us that, you know, at this point, you know, we've managed to, considering we live thousands of miles away from each other, and we've had all of our different lives, it's really wonderful that we continue to be excited about playing together. And I think it's some of the best songs we've ever come up with, and more songs that we came up with together than on any of our other records. And I think I'm allowed to say it now, but we're all sort of closer to 60 than we are 50.
Mm-hmm.
We finally got signed to a major record deal. And
What the hell happened? How did that happen?
You know, sometimes you stick around and people appreciate the fact that you've been, you know, that you're working hard and people like what you do. That's got a lot to do with it. I think also without any question, the fact that Tom Wilson at almost age 60 is really he's hitting his stride personally, artistically, as a writer, as a painter, as a songwriter, as a singer, like you wouldn't believe, you know, between the Lee Harvey Oswald record he's got. I think that it's just been such a wonderful time for him in his own evolution. And I have to say that I think that's got a lot to do with
there
us,
you go.
With us getting signed.
What are you drinking, my friend? What are you drinking
these days? Well, I've been doing a bunch of work with Lucinda Williams, which means that the red blends have been really big for me, and because I've been really enjoying enjoying a bunch of Napa red blends. For time to time, French ones, but drinking a lot of American, drinking some nice Canadian ones, courtesy of Gary Craig, who always keeps an eye out. He's such a huge, Gary plays drums with me.
Like Ontario wines or BC wines?
BC more. Okay. Although I've had a couple nice Ontario ones,
sure,
but some great BC ones. Had a few beautiful Willamette Valley, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's been like three killer vintages in a row for that, which has been great. I've had a couple of excellent Barolos, like 2006 Barolos that have just opened up beautifully.
Okay.
So it's been a really good, and I always drink, you know, at least one day a week, I'll have a really nice Russian River Valley is usually about my favorite for American Pinots.
But why I never hear you talk about Merlot Turgot. I never hear you talk about Marsan Roussanne or sparkling wines or rosés or ever. It's always big reds.
You know what? For me, because I limit myself to two glasses a day.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I don't like the other stuff, but I love the reds so much.
Well, you're also doing it as medicinal as well.
Yeah, there's that, and also I love to eat so much. So food wines really end up getting drank a lot. Although Gary, once again, I have to thank Gary Craig. Gary brought for my wife, who doesn't drink wine that much, but she likes whites more frequently than I do usually, but a beautiful bottle of Pinot Gris, which is in the fridge now. And we have a couple nice, I think we have a rosé in the fridge currently.
Oh, all right.
That, you know, when the weather gets a little warm and I'll allow myself one in the afternoon, that'll be a great thing.
By the way, I rarely, if ever, recommend wine to you because you're miles ahead of me in terms of consumption and knowledge, and you have more choices down there. But I had, at the Vancouver International Wine Festival, year 41, I had the opportunity to taste a Mondavi Cab Franc.
Wow.
From his home vineyard, the legendary.
Wow.
And normally it's used for blending, and then when it gets really good, they do a single. If you find it, if you see it, buy it. It's phenomenal.
Wow.
It is truly an unbelievable wine. So that's
I've had a few Cab Francs recently, you know, like one or two over the last month or so that have knocked me out. So that's really something to keep an eye open for.
All right. So we're going to see you this summer currently?
Calgary Blues Festival, August 1st, for sure. Blackie is going to play. That's Rotting Matadors. That's me and Johnny Diamond and Gary
Excellent.
Craig.
Thank you.
And then I think we're doing a Blackie's going to do one of our only shows this year. One of our only live shows this year is going to be at the Stampede on July 7th. So I think I'm allowed to say that.
Okay.
And what else? I'm going to do the Saskatoon Jazz Festival solo June 20th or 21st, I think. Ooh, I'll get that date right. Winnipeg Jazz Festival solo like the day after or the day before or something like that.
He is the one and only Colin Linden, 8-time Juno winner, maybe 9 or 10 by now.
Nine, I think.
Thank you. Luther Dickinson has partnered with him. The two of them have made music together called Amour. It's out there now, and it's on Stony Plain Records. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. They have just released the new Screaming Frenzy line of sexiness, the 2018 Pinot Gris, the Sauv Blanc, the Pastel Pachyderm, which is their rosé, the 2017 Pinot Noir, and they're introducing Crikey the Kangaroo. That's their new Shiraz. Aren't you just a little intrigued? Check out thehatchwines.com.